Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell and Gwen Berry. I'm Gwen Berry in South Florida, and this is the Sunday Show this week. Our guest is late in calling in, but it's Sheree Foytlin from Rain, Louisiana. She's just back from, there she is, just back from London, where she attended the BP stockholders meeting, wasn't it, Sheree? Can you hear me? Sheree?
Hello, Sheree.
Hello? Okay, we haven't got any sound there. It's always good. Oh, we were having fun this week. Anyway, I'm trying to chew gum and what do you call it too here. So Jack, please tell everybody about the week.
Well, it's certainly been an eventful week. Thank goodness the craziness in Boston appears to be over. There was a horrible incident at the Boston Marathon, which three people were killed, one of them from China, and one child and a number of amputees and injured people as well, resulted from two bomb blasts that were set at two separate spots near the end of the race. And I'm just grateful that more people didn't get hurt. But one suspect was killed within a few days while trying to escape in a wild breakneck chase through town, throwing explosives out the window of the car and everything else. And then he got out of the car, I guess, and he got shot and run over by his brother who was with him. And these fellows are both immigrants from different parts of Russia, I understand, but they're both brothers.
Chechnya,
yeah, that's right. They were there for a while. I don't know where they're... I think they're both born in separate spots in Russia, but at any rate, their parents went back to Russia to live, and the children here, the boy, one of them was 26, his brother was 19. The 19-year-old survived after being wounded himself, and... trying to be put, cost the whole city of Boston to go down on lockdown.
Yeah, and the country is eating the sensationalism in the news.
Oh, yeah, and it's nonstop, same old reporting constantly. It's the same old, it's a mainstream media news feast is what it is. They're just, we get a real fast. Instead, we get a fast. Those who like the real news get a fast. You get nothing but nonstop duplicate reporting and speculation and a lot of nonsense.
Well, thank you for the recap, Jack. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think we have Sheree online now. Sheree, are you with
us? Hi, Sheree.
Hello?
Hi,
hey.
Sheree.
Hey, I'm here. How's it going?
Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Hope you had a good trip to London.
Oh, I did. I still don't know if I'm back on American time. Like, I've just been so tired.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to travel like that and spring up on your feet again.
Yeah. Yeah. So I woke up just a little while ago, actually, from a nap, which I totally needed, but I'm still groggy. I was drinking tea. And I'm like,
well, we're glad to have you with us today.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Sheree, it was 3 years ago today, correct?
Three years ago yesterday, the explosion happened, and 3 years ago tomorrow that it sank in oil. I don't know if it was spewing before, but it really was spewing at that point on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. What I had in mind with this show was to ask you a little bit about your journey from day one. Not everyone can get into the streets, and not everyone has the get up and go, if you will, the stamina to be a part of the protest. But many people look to others for inspiration. You've been one of those people. So since day one, since you were on CNN News. And what I wanted you to do, if you would, was speak about the journey that you've taken since the beginning and how it's unfolded for you.
I don't know if we have that kind of time. Like, it's just been a life-changing, altering, crazy experience. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. People ask me, you know, what was that like? And I said, it was like you were walking along, just living your life, and you got hit by a linebacker and thrown into a whole different life, you know. And
mm-hmm.
So the changes have just been incredible and just eye-opening. I just really had no idea, you know. People, they'll get upset with people because they don't know things, but you know, it's not like it's in the media every day that the truth of it is really coming out. And I think a good mm-hmm. example is with what happened just in Boston. I don't want to talk about that too much because I just don't know too much about it, and I'm not going to believe anything that the media is putting out. Honestly, I don't, because I remember there was a time back in 2010 when I was, you know, up to my knees in oil and watching these birds get scrubbed off and all this, and I came back and there was the president was on TV and with all, like, it was mashed in between some BP oil commercials, I'm sure. It said, he said, you know, the oil was gone. It was magic. You know, microbes had eaten the oil. And at that point, that was when I understood that what you're being told on TV is just not necessarily true, and probably not, honestly. You know, look at all the I call it speculation nation. You know, all the speculation that's come out about that, and all the speculation that came out about BP back in those days. And just we've been fighting once it gets said. You know, it seems like we've been fighting to get the truth out there ever since.
Well, here in the North, we're getting plagued by, I call it plagued, bombarded by BP commercials urging everybody, oh, come on down south, come down to the Gulf. Everything's great. The fish is great. The food is great. The times are great. And the beaches are clean. And we're getting all this nonsense. And it's all propaganda lies is what it is.
Oh, absolutely. I bet you're going to get more of them. I was reading the shareholder report when it came out not too long ago, and I noticed they sure didn't put a line in there that said how much they had spent on advertising, but every time they say we spent $25 billion in the Gulf, I always think, well, I wonder if they're counting that advertising they put out there, because I bet that probably doubled that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
But you got to take to yourself, you know, why after 3 years do they need to keep telling you so often and so much that everything's okay? It's because it's not, and they're trying to make
people
liars. Believe them. It's just not true. Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're liars.
If it was true, if we were really moved on, there wouldn't be nothing left to say.
Not
right now,
good.
Are there still tar balls coming up on the sands and stuff?
Well, sure there is. There's going to be tar balls for decades coming in. We know that from the Exxon spill.
See, we never hear that in the news anymore.
Yeah, and you know, every time there's a little storm kicks up out there, we have tar mats are right off the shore. There's tar mats being excavated right now in Grand Isle, and as soon as there's a little storm kicks up out there, then we have tar balls come in, and then there's still fresh oil out there. And you know, I have to be fair to BP by saying that, you know, there's oil spills in the Gulf of Mexico all the time. You know, that they go Taylor Energy, for instance, they've been spilling for years now, so. It's not uncommon to have a little oil. The problem with the BP spill was it was just such a large amount of oil, and then they put this dispersant. It's a toxic dispersant that's against the law in the UK, and they put that on the oil. And new studies coming out are showing that the mixture of that made the oil 52 times more toxic to the environment. And so, and they were dealing with rotifers, which are kind of like the lab rats of marine animals, and that went into the food system. That was in the water column. The thing about dispersants is that's what it does. It breaks it up into the water column. These little rotifers are eating it, and then the higher animals eat them, you know, and then it gets into the food chain and into the water itself. So they're going to be studying this for a long time. But to tell you the truth, they were studying us for years before that, because all the chemical plants and the refineries. We don't need any more studies. We may be one of the most studied populations out there.
We need some cleanup action, some real cleanup action.
Yeah, and we need some truth, first of all.
Yes.
Some acknowledgement
of
truth, what's happening. But more importantly, we need doctors for these people that are still sick from the use of these oil. And it was really the government accountability gap put out a a really good report that we've all kind of contributed to over the last 20 months, and it came out just a couple of days ago, and I'm still reading it. I mean, it's a very long, very deep and thorough report, but it very clearly shows the government and BP and the Coast, you know, the Coast Guard and the EPA even, you know, kind of work together to make this situation, this devastating, horrible situation, much, much worse, you know, in the way that they reacted. The problem is, you know, they didn't have any idea what they were doing. Nobody wants to say that, especially not the government, but they don't. And
right.
And they used similar methods, the only methods that they knew, because, you know, they don't put the money into how to clean this stuff up. They can spill it. They don't know how to clean it up in a way that's not harmful to the environment. So then it just becomes, let's make it look as good as possible for the TV cameras, and that's when they sprayed it, and that's when the people, many, many, many people, especially children, they're the ones I worry about the most, because we don't know how it's going to affect their little bodies years to come. And,
oh, God, yeah.
Sheree, so,
you went to the BP stockholders meeting in London, was that it?
I did. So this was, man, it's really what it on goes. About a week ago, a little over a week ago, we went to London as a result, and
Sheree, can you hear me?
Yeah.
She's breaking up.
Breaking up, hon. Are you standing someplace you weren't standing before? You go in and out.
No. No, can you hear me now?
No, she's okay.
Near you,
Sheree,
now.
Was there any allusion to the what had happened, or did they completely sweep it under the rug in London?
Oh, yeah, that Bob Dudley. It's up online. If you want to go on 28 Stones on YouTube, we put what we said, and then we put what he said. They did this really weird thing that I've never seen before, where they had everybody say all the questions all at once, and then they went through kind of the list of questions. The difference between us and the shareholder, we had a proxy, which means a shareholder gave up their right to speak to allow us, which was very kind. And what the difference is, if a shareholder got up there, or even a proxy, just had a question like, oh, I don't know, what about my dividends? Or how come y'all, that was a good one, how come they're making all these bonuses and they're paying out all this money to fix the mess that they made? I thought that was a good one. Then they would talk to them, and the shareholder would have a right to speak back and say, so it was kind of a back and forth thing. But for us, the tar sands people and the BP oil spill people, not only did they make it very uncomfortable to get in because we were all physically searched in order to get in, they said that it was random, but randomly they happened to choose out every advocate and activist that was in the room.
Right.
And stick us in the back. And then when we did get to we were able to speak. They took all of our questions at once and then answered them in line, and we had no way to answer them back. So it was kind of
typical.
To me it felt like, you know, it was kind of like, let's keep, you know, damage down as much as possible. But man, my friend Drew Landry, Brian was there. He's with a Gulf Coast Fund. He's a managing advisor in there. He got up there because Ian Davis said last year at the shareholders meeting at lunch that they would say that he personally would come down and see the damage and sicknesses that we were talking about. And we were so excited for that, but unfortunately, that never materialized.
Yeah,
and
figures.
So Brian was there to say, why didn't you keep your word? Well, now I've heard from reporters that BP's saying, well, we didn't say that, but they did, right?
And then
I was up there. I was really wanted to, we kind of tried, you know, talked before about who, you know, we wanted to make sure that we were as effective as possible. And so my part was, I was very concerned about process safety issues, considering that BP had, you know, Quinoa in Texas City. There was a Pretty Home Bay accident. They've had some of the worst refineries. OSHA has sized, you know, one of the ladies from the EPA back then, you know, she said they were a serial corporate polluter and a serial corporate plant. And I was looking at the shareholders. See, the sad part is they're lying to these shareholders, and they're telling them that they got this under control. Well, I was looking at the shareholder report from this year on safety issues, which is issue safety within the company from the top down instead of the bottom up. And it said pretty much the same thing in 2013 after the BP, you know, 3 years after BP spill, as it did in 2005 after the Texas City incident. You know, the only difference was they were making a little committee about it. So I asked them, I told them, this looks a lot like Tony Hayward's company. Why hasn't there been any changes in process safety? And he rattled off this whole list of things that, but it was just pretty much whatever was in the share. There really wasn't an answer to that question. And then my friend Drew Landry got up there, and he just blew him away talking about, he told from his heart about the dispersion issue and the children being sick and the grown people being sick. And Tony Hayward came back. I mean, Tony Hayward. You might as well say Tony Hayward. Bob Dudley. Bob Dudley, he's the CEO. He came back and he said, just the most silly. He said that the same rhetoric that they put out there before, that dispersion is like dish soap, that he can't understand it, that the Coast Guard told him to do it, that, you know, all this stuff. And it was just great timing, to tell you the truth, for him to shout off anger and stuff like that, because right after that was when the petroleum engineer, John Turley, said that dispersants were toxic and blasted them and should not have been used, that there was other things that were available that the EPA would not allow them to use, that it was very dangerous. And then ran right into this GAP report that came out that showed how the government and BP had conspired together to keep, that they knew that it was toxic all this time, and that they kept that information, withheld it from the spill, the residents and the cleanup workers and all of the people that were working on these issues. And so we just picked up just a ridiculous amount of traction in a very short amount of time, but it's amazing that, here we are. It's funny because I remember Feinberg saying, we won't know the true, value, the true devastation until 3 years out. He said that when he was handing out $5,000 to people and having them sign away their rights.
Yeah.
Sheree.
He may have been right, because now here we are 3 years out and we're finally getting
to shelter. Sheree, tell me, there are a lot of reports from people throughout the basin, the Gulf Basin, that there's still Corexit being sprayed out there in the occasional complex. Has anybody been able to confirm and lock that down?
Well, I can't. Back in September of 2010, we went to an industry meeting, and one of the gentlemen from ConocoPhillips said that the burning and the dispersing of oil is no longer considered an alternative method. It is the method for cleanup. So we knew that they were still going to spray this stuff. Now, they said, Tad Allen said that back in, I don't know when, but I remember he said that it wasn't very long after the well was capped that they stopped spraying. We see people's accounts, or anecdotal accounts, will say that we're still seeing C-130s go out, we're still seeing bubbling in the water, and we know that in Plaquemines Parish, in 2012, they did spray something in there. They said that it was just a practice run. They were just spray, but something white was in the water, and there were fish kills in that same time. I can't say, they sprayed Corexit here on this day, because, we don't have that information. I can tell you that Bob Dudley himself, at that shareholders meeting, said Corexit is still being used today. So we know that it is still being used. I don't know if it's still being used in the Gulf and it has in the last 6 months or anything like that, but I do know that it is on the list and it's still being used somewhere.
Well, they're all guilty. Let's spill the beans here. We know this for a fact. They're all guilty of economic and atmospheric genocide. That's exactly the right term for it, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're destroying everything in their sight just to do this subterfuge that they're actually dealing with the problem, which they are not.
Well, take a look at what happened in Arkansas. I mean, they're using paper towels again to clean up an oil spill. Paper towels.
Yeah, you know what? Looking at the Arkansas spill, I wanted to do a blog run. I haven't yet because I've just been so busy. But if you take the Arkansas spill and you put a timeline up, and then you put a timeline from the BP spill, you can almost run it just straight across it. Everything from they won't let the media in, won't let anyone in the air zone above it.
That's their modus operandi.
The whole, Yeah, it's that whole the dog bite scenario, right? Like, you know, a dog bites somebody and they say, well, that's not my dog. You know, oh, well, it is my dog, but, you know, he didn't bite you. Oh, he did bite you, but he didn't hurt you. You know, oh, well, he did hurt you, but it's not my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that they play.
They're very good at it.
They're incredibly good. Exxon's already put out letters, and they're putting out, oh, we're going to make this right. I'm insane. And they don't even... They're even unashamed in their rhetoric, you know. I feel for those people in Arkansas. And I don't know if they'll have to deal with any kind of dispersant issue because tar sands that came through there, and it's already toxic by itself, but also it sinks to the bottom. It's a different, people want to think that it's crude. The media will tell you it's crude. It's not crude. It's a very different sort of thing that causes damage of its own, you know.
Yeah, it's got its own properties, and it's very toxic. And to clean it up with paper towels somehow doesn't quite even cut it.
There's no way that you can clean. It's like the ocean bottom. There's no way they can clean and restore the ocean bottom, the bathos.
Right.
And there's
right.
no way that they can clean out the water table once that stuff sinks into the land. Especially around all those homes. I'm thinking of Arkansas at this moment. While you were over in London, did anyone contact you all from the British press?
Yeah, I think. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. After... I think that we did get some press, but a really good thing, too, that Gulf Coast Fund and Bridge of the Gulf, who I work with quite a bit, especially Bridge of the Gulf, did was we were really worried about wanting to expand the voices of people, and my buddy Derek Evans came up with this great idea to have one-hour call-ins where a diverse group of community members from across the Gulf Coast called in. And we recorded it, and then we were able to send that out. We invited the press in. Now, not very. It was short term, so not very many press people called in. But we were able to share that information. That's up on Bridge the Gulf, and we did different calls.
Great.
One with indigenous communities, one with fishing communities, health, and I think the Restore Act. And so those calls are available to people and available to the press. And so we did pick up press in the UK that seemed to be kind of more open. Finding out the truth about this particular issue, and always have been, by the way, for the press.
That's great.
And so we did get on the Independent there, which is a big newspaper in the UK, ran a great story with a lot of information that came out from Dr. Mike and Jory Danos and some of our truth tellers that are around in the Gulf. So, and I feel like, you know, there's been a lot of press about since the 3 year. You know, about the environment and cleanup, and with the GAP report coming out, it's been on, you know, all over. The GAP report just has been all, it came out in Newsweek, so it's been all over, and I think
we're
able to carry this momentum a little bit farther into the future. I really feel like it's time to, you know, it's time to, okay, all right, well, you guys, you know, I remember I talked to an EPA senior advisor back when I did the walk back in 2011, and he told me, you know, take these stories to the sick people, to the public. You know, tell the public what's going on, because, you know, they would make things, they would put pressure where it needs to be pressured. And I think that we've done that in a large way to the amount of people that are going to be heard. Now I think it's time for the next step and actually get some things done, like the banning of the use of Corexit in particular. I'd like some congressional hearings on public health, and then the banning of dispersants and the reform of the EPA dispersant policies and things like that, that we can be moving forward, because, like, we're seeing so many cancers down here right now. I mean, I don't know anybody that knows somebody personally that has cancer, and then and they're aggressive cancers, really aggressive. Like, a number of people that their family member will say, you know, they'll get sick, and then within a couple of months it's spread over their body, and within a couple of months they're dead.
So
to some degree, I think we're it's, I mean, it's been 3 years, you know, and this is, it's starting to come up, and I feel like, I feel like the damage has been done, and whatever we can do for our ecosystem is going to be, is going to be great, but the dispersants have already pretty much, you know, jacked us up, and the health issues, we need teach doctors to help with the health issues, but some of these people, they're going to be chronically ill for the rest of their life.
That's such a shame. And so needless.
Past helping those people is keeping this from happening to another community.
Cherie, what kind of help are you finding through any of the state leadership? And I mean by state, not just Louisiana. I mean Mississippi, Florida,
Alabama.
And Alabama. What kind of leadership is coming and supporting and sticking with? Have you had any kind of constants with any of them? Continuity. Cherie? I guess we lost Cherie.
Oh, we lost her.
She's still on. Cherie, can you hear me? Hello?
We can't hear her.
You know, Blog Talk Radio is really getting under my skin in the last couple weeks.
Oh, that's a shame. Very pertinent question, too. I hope we can reestablish contact. I'd love to know the answer.
Yes, really. I would really like to know myself. She's dropped the call. I can try calling her back here.
Okay. You know, these guys are guilty of genocide. Let's face it. There are people dying needlessly. They're suffering needlessly. And, you know, the entire habitat's been destroyed or very severely damaged for generations to come. I mean, this isn't something that just goes away like a rainstorm. This is something that's just staying and staying and staying.
Cherie, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Good.
Great. My question to you was, has there been any continuity with the leadership in the states of the Gulf Basin? Have you found anyone that has stuck by you and walked with you through this? I mean, with all the groups. Anyone, true?
Yeah, I mean, here in Louisiana, we have Senator A.G. Crow. He introduced an anti-dispersant act that the lobbyists jumped right all over that. A few steak dinners, and next thing you know, it was a done deal. And then we have Luther Strange over in Alabama. He's the attorney general. Our attorney general here is not that bad, although I can't think of his name off the top of my head. They're all really up on getting this restore money in, which is important to fix the ecosystem damage that's happened down here and provide jobs for people who have lost their livelihood. Oxfam and several other groups have really, really pushed for some sort of legislation and gotten it through in Louisiana. I think they're working on Mississippi, to where local hires will be the first hires on the Restore Act money. The politicians love to talk about money, and unfortunately there's very few politicians that want to talk about, you know, protecting life in this way. And so on the federal level, you know, we have Nadler, and we have Markey and a few other people. I forgot that lady's name, but there's some good people up there. The problem is they get shut down by the lobbies. They have BP and other groups have way, way, way more money and influence than we do in politics, as we all know. And so very often the voice of the communities go unheard. I'm so frustrated with Landrieu and Vitter down here in Louisiana.
What about us? They're compromised.
Landrieu said back at, almost 2 years ago, because it was in 2011 when I just got back from the walk and we were at a thing that was put together. I can't remember who put it together. Anyway, it was in New Orleans, and she came and she spoke, and she very clearly said, "I hear you. I'm going to work on this issue." 2 years later, she's never brought it up. You know, in fact, not too long ago, the EPA has banned BP from any more, getting any more leases out there. And she wrote a letter and went to the feds and said, it's time to lift that ban, you know, to let BP start drilling again. BP's done nothing, as far as I'm concerned, to show that they have really altered the process safety issues within their company.
Right.
And so, we put a little campaign together you know, WTF, Mary Manager, like, you know, why are you doing that? You know, and I don't really think that she's thinking about what's best for Gulf mm-hmm. people. And, you know, she wants to talk about, you know, jobs and oil workers. Well, you know, oil workers are the first people to die out there. And if you're really, if
right.
that's your constituency and you're really worried about them, wouldn't you make sure that they were protected as
right.
far as their life and their health? That doesn't make any sense to me. But again,
well, right now you have an overwhelming need for more doctors, right?
Oh, yeah, we need treatment, you know, and
yeah.
Dr. Mike Robichaux had a great program down here that helped over 100 people, but he did not have the funds and capacity to keep that going, and it was a great expense for him on his life and what he's done for us. A lot of people consider him a saint down here. I mean, that man has to put his whole world on the line. I don't think people understand what he's
yeah,
done
well,
to try to get information out and to help the people, some of them the most sick, you know, that could get in there. And that's through LEAN, Louisiana Environmental Action Network, has been awesome with trying to get
mm-hmm.
information. Dr. Wilma Subra, we have the people. We don't have the capacity and that we don't have the resources that are needed to care for these people. But again, it comes back to not just, this is more of a social fabric kind of issue, because these people were already driving 2.5 to 3 hours to see a doctor. There wasn't enough
yeah.
medical care there from the beginning. And now
mm-hmm.
with this toxic exposure, even the little bit of medical care that they do have, these people have no idea how to deal with these situations, and they keep treating symptoms. So now we have little kids that have been on antibiotics for nearly 3 years straight because they go to the doctor, and all the doctors have to do is prescribe more antibiotics.
Oh.
Cabinet full of meds from these mothers, and you know, Kendra Arneson, she's a mother down in Clackmans Parish, a wonderful, wonderful, outspoken, from the beginning, strong woman. With her daughter is sick, and people within her community are sick. And she's taken people around and videotaped and had people videotape some of the sicknesses of Ghana. She said that there's kids with, and I've seen it myself, so I know it to be true. I've been sick myself. I know this is all the truth, that children had 80% of their hair falling out, that they still have nosebleeds and headaches and migraines. And,
where can these,
you know,
videos
so
be seen, Cherie? Where can these videos be seen?
Louisiana Environmental Action Network has most of those videos available. 28 Stones, we have a few things, and then Bridge
okay.
to Gulf Project to
right.
collect community voices from the vantage point of that community member, and there's a lot of good stuff on there. So, yeah, go check those out. And it's just so widespread now. I think that finally people are, now that some of the stuff has settled out, I think people feel more comfortable coming forward. Al Jazeera English just put out it's called U.S. Witness Claims BP Gas Explosion Cover-Up, and it's
mm-hmm.
about a man named Coco, his last name's Coco, and he talks about how they set bombs to burn off the oil, and how they didn't have, just like we said, you know, didn't have the equipment that they needed, the safety equipment. Do you know that at one point, Gulf Coast Fund and Louisiana Environmental Action Network bought thousands of dollars worth of respirators for these people? On their own dime, went to hand this stuff out because they knew that this stuff was, you know, toxic, could make people sick. And BP
mm-hmm.
and the government said that they were not allowed to wear those respirators to keep themselves
right.
safe. Before
yeah.
you
oh.
to the government
yeah.
oh, pathetic.
Yeah, we have proof, you know.
Yeah.
That is infuriating.
So it's like all these roadblocks went up, and it wasn't about, I don't really believe that BP was thinking, I want to make all these people sick. I think they were thinking, damage control, we have to protect our shareholders.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
we have to, you know, it was all, it's always about the ding dang money. It's always about those little slips of paper, you know, and,
yeah.
and not
oh,
about
yeah.
the human casualty or the human cost or the cost of these communities. And, it, you know, that these industries do. And so, I'm done with that. It's really frustrating and it's daunting. But the happiness comes from the fact that, you know, this stuff is finally coming out. We've all been saying it all along. But then there's also
mm-hmm.
the bitter side, right? That's like, we've been saying this all along. I mean, we had divers, we had oil workers, we have, you know, scientists and writers and doctors. And I don't know how many voices that were out, mothers that were out there saying, something is wrong, this is not wrong. and they intentionally turned a blind eye to it, and then they intentionally covered it up to the American, the Americans, you know, to the U.S. citizenry, so that they wouldn't know. I mean, this was a heinous act, you know, and I'm hoping that there's some kind of justice that can be found in it. But again, I mean, if you're already sick or if you're already passed away, do it or not, does it? Like, if you're the one that's sick.
Right. Well, your activism and your persistence in activism is helping make more people aware, and it has worked to a certain extent, and it will continue to work as long as you're able to keep spreading the truth. You know, you'll have people like us to support you in that endeavor, and we'll do everything we can in our power to make sure that the word gets as far spread as possible.
I appreciate that. And, I mean, people should
We appreciate
know that,
what you're
you know,
doing, Cherie, on behalf of all the people of the Gulf and all the people in the world.
I am nobody special. Like, I just want people to understand.
I know.
And
but
I
you know
really
what?
Got kicked into this like it was a crazy kind of weird one thing after the other kind of a thing. And I feel like I want to say in my heart, I want to say that if people really knew what was going on and saw what was happening, that people would have done very much the same thing, that they would have stood up. Because if you were the person that had to look these kids in the eye, or if you were picking pelicans up out of the ocean, or, you know, if you had these experiences, it changes your heart. It makes you, it empowers you to just want to move forward.
Right.
And I've been very much empowered by other advocates that have been working on this a hell of a lot longer than me. And some that just came in, that they never stopped, you know. And every time you start feeling, because I've had death threats against me, death threats against my husband. Somebody approached when I was coming back from London. Somebody approached my son in the store and was dominating him, and it's bigger. It seems like every time we bring up the health issues with this person issue, I've had bricks thrown through my window in my car. I mean, every time, and I'm not the only one. I mean,
Well, you're all heroes and heroines in our books, I'll tell you that, because what you're doing is so unselfish, and it's at your own peril that you're doing this, and you're doing it for the benefit of all the people of the world, really. They're not just the people in the Gulf, but all over the people in the world who can be affected adversely by this.
There's also another factor here, too, Cherie. What you do, being out there and people hearing about you and the people you speak to that get to hear you, that pass the word on, it also brings an inspiration to them and it creates more activism. And I think that's really important, is that it's not all about you. Yes, it is that you're out there doing it and that you've held true to it. You're also creating more activists, and that's one of the most important jobs we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, moving out from, like, I realized during the walk, when I was doing the walk and I kept going through all these communities that were going through very similar issues, it might have been mountaintop removal or uranium mining or whatever.
I remember.
And open-air toxic. I remember saying, oh, my gosh, like, this is just so big, and it's so far past the Gulf. And that's where I got into the Keystone XL fight to stop that from happening, because I realized that the people on the northern end of that are just like the people on the southern end of that, in that they unequally bear the burden of energy production in North America. So, so I realized that. And so our biggest struggle is empowering those communities and those voices to be able to stand up and fight for themselves.
Yeah.
Because we're pushing the pinnacle here, not just through climate change, through environmental justice issues, of what this earth, this mother earth, this precious, precious mother can take. And, and so the BP oil spill, even though it's one of the...
Cherie?
Oh, she's breaking up again.
Can you hear me again?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me clearly? Hello, Cherie?
We've lost her again. Oop.
Shoot.
Doggone it.
Cherie? Dang it.
Well, she made a very good point there Her continued activism is remarkable, and it's to be applauded, and we encourage everybody to dig into this story further, and don't just take what the little tiny bits you're hearing from the media, and especially not the lying advertisements you see on television regarding what BP supposedly doing so well for the Gulf. It's all a big lie.
Well, it is. It basically is. I'm trying to get Sheree back on the phone.
There we go. We'll get her.
And because I did have some right out of my head. I don't know.
This is Sheree. Leave your name and number. I'll give you a call back as soon as I can.
At the tone. Please record your message.
That isn't working.
That's oh, dear.
Wait a minute. I've got... Sheree?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Good.
I can hear you back now. I tried calling you in. I had what you were talking about there before you got cut off. Continue. Please continue. You were describing,
what are you talking
about? You know?
No. I don't know. I think I was talking about how these issues are all related and how, you know,
yes.
Like I said before, they have the
I
same game plan.
It's really important. What I wanted to say, and something I learned from you, is that a clean, healthy environment is a human right. You have
yes.
said that several times. I applaud it, and I think it's a very important thing for people to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we say, you know, clean air and water is a human right to all people, and I believe that to be true. The UN believes that to be true. I don't know if America, the United States, or Canada, either one, believes that to be true. The president of Nestle obviously does not, for sure. But
there, I hear you there.
but so when it really comes down to it, right, if you believe that to be true, which I would say that most people would, then what's happened here is obviously no less than a human rights violation. And what's happening in other parts of the world, in Canada and specifically with the indigenous peoples, there is a human rights violation, and that's all there is to it. And the fact that we're continuing to allow these sorts of things to happen without a big, gigantic outcry just shows how much money that there is to keep the American population from knowing the truth about their country and what they do to it physically.
Yep. Massive propaganda campaign. That's all it is.
It's quite true what you're saying, though. So
now, you can see a lot of this stuff on bridgethegulf.org. Is that correct?
Bridgethegulfproject.org.
Project.org. Okay.
And
okay,
then
great.
Leanweb.org.
Okay, great. Knowledge is power, and the more people that know about this, the more powerful you and all the other activists become, and deservedly so.
The thing that bothers me is that, like, I remember really early on, I was really upset about what was happening, and I put out there, and I said on Facebook, I think it was, I wrote, you know, does anybody hear me? I mean, can you hear me? Because it seems like sometimes at that time we felt like we were talking to chairs. And,
someone,
a good friend of mine from Oklahoma, actually wrote back to me and said, we hear you. We don't know what to do. And that's when I realized, you know, it's not just about education. That's the first step. But it's about giving people something that they can plug into and something that they can do. So there is an anti. If you go on the Government Accountability Project's website and you look at the report that they just put out, which is Deadly Dispersant and Oil Spill Cleanup is the name of it, then you can, there's a petition that, please sign that petition. It's been supported by Ricky Ott and by Lean, Wilma Subra, and Dr. Mike, and all of us. We really need to get this person's outlawed in the United States. There are other options that are available.
And that's that www what?
Whistleblower.org.
Well, say it again.
Whistleblower.
Whistleblower.org. Okay, great, great. Okay.
Yeah, go on there, and then there's it connects to a petition that asking for the ban of use of Corexit and other toxic dispersants.
Great.
That's the first thing we need to do is get those things off the EPA list, and then also it gives very specific, and we all chimed in on this, but it's very specific recommendations for what needs to be done now. And
good.
One of those things is a congressional hearing. We need that immediately, and most importantly, we need doctors down here that know what they're doing, that can treat the people that are ill, and then learn that lesson moving forward.
Well, good. Let us hope that you soon see great success in all of your endeavors, because you've suffered long enough down there, and it's going to have very detrimental effects throughout across the whole country unless it's rectified soon.
And Sheree,
Go ahead. Yeah. No, I was going to say there's really no. We really don't have a choice here. I mean, BP really.
Right.
They don't really have a choice, and the government doesn't really have a choice, because people think that at a certain point that people will either get tired of it, or they'll get intimidated, or they'll just become so sad with the lack of movement forward on that. But I think that the BP and the government, I'm sure you're listening, and you need to know that in this particular instance is not the case.
No.
That not only myself, but many, many other people will yell about this and talk about this, that we will be in D.C. and in London and anywhere else in the world that we need to be to end this ridiculous practice until there are changes made to protect the rest of the people in this country and in this world. So they don't understand our stubbornness on this issue. Because
they don't understand
really kind of
resolve.
The wrong region on that. They did.
Right, yeah.
So,
that's why you're on today, to let them know. And we'll do our share, too, to help spread the word and see to it that eventually this gets taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to. It is. I know it.
Yeah.
I know it to be true.
Yep. Well, persistence pays off. It really does. It paid off in civil rights, and that took forever. It's going to pay off in this, too. So you never give up the ship, everybody. You know, keep struggling, keep fighting, and eventually we'll get a good result.
Man, if they only knew how many wonderful, and I don't just mean wonderful, like heart-strong people and committed people that are down here. We got some smart, intelligent, rock-hard, awesome people down here that are really not letting this stuff go. And mainly it's just regular people like you and me that are standing up and saying, you know, enough is enough. And and I'm so proud of the work that's been done here, from everyone from nonprofits groups to individuals to the very few handful of people that we have in the government that actually do care and want to do and want to make things better. They don't have a chance. They just happen to have more money. That takes us a little bit more time, but they don't have a chance to win, I'll tell you.
Sheree, have you had any groups of doctors that you've been in touch with, like Doctors Without Borders? Or I know there's several groups out there. Have any of them been approached about coming down to the Southeast and at least beginning to work to catalog these disorders? Or is it still that CDC hands-off kind of approach going on?
Yeah, totally still CDC. I did contact Doctors Without Borders like kind of early on in this, and I come to find out that they do have borders, and it happens to be the United States, because they don't do anything within the United States, and so they wouldn't help us. There are a few other groups, and I can't name off the top of my head, that people have been in contact with, and they're aware of the situation. But as usual, it comes down to the capacity that they have with which to move forward on certain things, and also funding. You know, you can't. People got to live and they got to eat, and
eventually, with the word going around the way you're spreading it, eventually we're going to hit on the right source and the right. It'll be like a gold mine once it's obtained, because it will yield great results, and we've just got to keep spreading the word and keep our attempt up to get as many doctors down there as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about it is, I kind of worry about it, people coming in from other places and not not being within the community, going to, like, the, for us, there's Dr. Mike, right, and a few other, a handful of other people, but Dr. Mike's definitely the lead. And they need to go find out what Dr. Mike has done and,
yeah,
and listen to the protocol that he's used and the people that he's been able to help.
That's good.
Because I really think that Dr. Mike could actually alter the way people deal with chemical exposure altogether if they would just take the time to listen to him.
All right, is Dr. Mike what? What's his last name?
I'm sorry, Robichaud.
R-O-B-I-C-E-A-U-X.
That was it.
Robichaud, okay.
And he has he's got a website up, too, I believe. But, I don't want anyone to come into this community and I mean, we've been here for, what, 3 years now? I don't want people to cut. I want doctors, but I want the doctors.
You don't want them down there blind.
And are
right.
able to come in and really listen and not are here because, okay, take these, a lot of these studies, not all of them, but a lot of these studies, it seems like when I hear people talk about them or when they come, they're more interested in disproving things than they are.
You don't need those types of doctors.
I have not met one person that come down here from these studies that didn't walk away a believer. They know it to be true, but.
Right.
They're just studies, so they don't help people anyway. They don't have any kind of treatment program that's in that too. So,
all right, we've gone through this very quickly. Let's give Dr. Mike's last name a spelling again, so that people can access his site and get to know some of the truth, especially any doctors out there who may be listening.
Yeah, you can look on the Lean website, leanweb.org, or you can look up Dr. Michael Robichaud, and it's Robichaux. And then you can also look up Dr. Wilma Subra, who's a chemist, and start there. That's a good place to start. And for Community Voices, go to bridgethegulfproject.org. There's a lot of stuff on there, not just about health, but the ecosystem and the economic damages that have happened. And I think that's pretty much it. You know, for ecological,
right.
I would recommend GRN, Gulf Restoration Network, or Louisiana Bucket Brigade. I'm telling you, we got so much good stuff going on, so many good people on this working together.
That's wonderful.
I think it's important that you took the time to reestablish these different links that people can go to, because if we just rattle them off and expect people to grab onto them, no. I think it's important to restate them now and then and make sure that they're getting the readership that they deserve and that. It'll help snowball the good effect of it all.
The simulcast that we're doing on YouTube, my producer for this show, Kim G from AWOP Radio, has been putting up these sites on the screen as you've
great.
Been talking, Sheree.
Oh, excellent,
oh,
excellent.
That's
so people
great.
Can go to
Thank
YouTube
you,
and
Beth.
See it there.
That's great. I appreciate that. I mean, it's so hard to get information out. And, go to the whistleblower.org. That's an important one. And sign that petition for crying out loud. We need as many signatures on that petition. And people, how does this affect me? Because people don't really care. Listen, but, man, Corexit is in the National Contingency Plan, which means if you have an oil spill in your area and it's in the water, they are going to use this stuff near you and your children. I mean, they totally believe this to be true, or they don't care, or they're making money off of it. One of those three things. But
I'm getting to the point where I'm afraid to eat Gulf shrimp nowadays, and I love Gulf shrimp.
That's just a really hard one, man, because we got so many shrimpers that are struggling and having issues and financially. So it's really hard for me to.
I know.
It's hard for me to tell anybody what to do. You know,
I understand.
I haven't eaten Gulf seafood. In the last 3 years, nearly where I did before. Have I had a shrimp po' boy every once in a while? Heck yes, I have. I live in the Gulf of Mexico. I love shrimp. Like, we used to eat it four to five times a week, and now we eat it once a month, maybe.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and
you've
that's
been right
part of
to...
the problem.
Yeah.
Is that the brand,
it affects the farmers.
It affects
the shrimpers.
Absolutely. I've heard some of the fish are coming back, and just like Exxon, we're going to see... we're going to see, like, I mean, I want to be completely honest. This is very important to me that the truth gets out there. There are some parts of the Gulf that is getting better. And if you can see after the Exxon spill that some species came back okay and some species didn't. We have some fish that are coming back and look healthy and don't have the tumors. We see a lot of tumors still on the redfish. And then, you know, shrimp is still count is really, really low. We're still seeing marine mammals and turtles come in at the highest mortality, highest and longest mortality rate in recorded history of our area. So those things, you know, some species are going to be affected, some species are not, and we don't really know. We don't really know what's going to happen as far as the science of it. And when you say science, you really mean the life of it, because it's never happened before.
It's genocide, plain and simple. It's genocide, and it's got to be stopped.
Cherie, has anyone been diving in the Gulf? Has there been any diving done down to the bottom to check it out?
You know, that's one of Samantha Joy. She's done some great research as far as the bottom of the ocean, and I read over her article, but I can't bring it up right now in my head. But I do know that, you know, again, she was saying, you know, that there is still damage down there and still issues. As far as divers, I could tell you from the GAP report, I knew from the beginning that the first people to get sick, and they were getting sick the worst, was the divers. And in the Government Accountability Project report that they did with LEAN, it came out that NOAA themselves, even in the BP manual, even though the government knew that that this stuff was deadly, that NOAA themselves told these divers that they were going to be safe, and many, many of our divers are just so sick. I mean, they're just really bad up. I don't know if there's still divers.
That's unforgivable.
I'm sure there are divers going out there, but I don't know about at the site itself. I'm not sure how all that works because I'm not a scientist. I'm just a mom. So, I hope that if they are going out there, that they're being safe, and that maybe it's a little less now. I don't know. I wouldn't dive in the water.
Is there any tourism pickup on your end over in Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi on that line? Is there any tourism?
We're fishing communities out of here, not necessarily tourism communities, and so I would know more. You would need to bring on somebody from Alabama or Florida to talk about that. I know that they still probably haven't returned. I think some parts have returned, but some parts have not to pre-spill days. But we're not really a tourism, not in that way. You know, our tourism stems from Cajun country and New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So the beaches, not so much. There's people that I'll put you in touch with some people out there that could probably help you more on that issue.
Yeah. Well, God bless you on your efforts, Cherie. I'm going to take off for the week, and I wish everybody a very progressive week, and the show will continue for another half hour, and I encourage everybody to stay till the end. I unfortunately cannot do so, but I want to encourage you to keep on the fight, Cherie. You're doing a great service to the whole country, and we really appreciate your efforts. And anybody who everybody who can, check out these links that we've given you on this program today, and you know, do what you can do on your end. Write a letter, you know, join a group, raise hell, just like Cherie's doing, to make sure that this stuff gets ended.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, Cherie, and we'll see you all next weekend.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, take care.
Yep, good night now.
Cherie, I wanted to know if you have anything planned, anything you would like to promote right now. Sorry.
Not really. I mean, I'm going to a river rally, which is a river keepers event in May, and then I think I'm looking towards taking a little time off in June. I'm not really sure, to tell you the truth. Like, you know, since the beginning, all of this has been, look, this is coming up, let's go do it. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't, 3 weeks in advance is about pretty much. And honestly, I got to spend some time at home, man. My babies need their mama, and I need them. And I'm tired. I'm so tired. Like, I just need a break. And I'm continuing to keep on it, like, through social media, of course, and we're looking at some options, some things that are coming up here in the next few months that I don't feel comfortable discussing right now, but I just keep your eyes open. You never know what's going to happen. And I would really like to see feet on the ground things happening within the next. The trials should start back up. It just closed down. It should start back up by fall. I'd like to be that's the second phase of the trial. So I'd like to see some feet on the ground kind of moments in that. That's going to cover the 87 days that the oil gushed into the Gulf, or 80 days. I think that's going to be important, and that's going to bring up the dispersant issue and the cleanup issues, and hopefully the GAP report will play a significant role in that. I'm not sure because the DOJ is in charge, and the DOJ is a governmental, and I just don't know. I don't know. I don't necessarily trust governmental entities at this point. So
it's very difficult. I certainly appreciate you giving us your time today and bringing us up to speed, as it were. Congratulations on getting over there to the BP board meeting. Can I ask you, how did that happen?
They've been going for this, I guess, the second or third year. Maybe my friend Brian, I think this was his third year to go. And we almost didn't make it this year. If it hadn't have been for Gulf Coast Fund's just vivacious outreach, nonstop trying to get help from entities that would be willing to help get us over there. And then also in the UK, there's the UK tar sands people. They were really instrumental in helping set that up and get the proxies and,
nice.
And you know, helping us find a place to stay and things like that. You know, and we always go on a shoestring. We always go with just enough to provide ourselves with, you know, food. And we don't require much, thankfully. You know, a nice dry place to sleep is good enough for me. So it came together right at the last minute. We really thought that it wasn't going to happen, and thankfully there were a lot of really good people that pushed to make it happen, and it was important. It was very, very important that Bob Dudley got up there and said those really ignorant, backwards things that he did, so that we could very clearly pull out information and then dispute that, and it just happened to fall in line with all this other great stuff that was going on at the same time. So, I tell you the truth, I feel like that these things are supposed to happen. I feel like that we've been called to this time much in the same way that the civil rights leaders were called to their time, and the people and demanding freedom for India was called to that time. And this is just the time that we've all been called. You know,
I agree with you.
I feel that in my heart. So.
You're doing a really fabulous job. I really appreciate you spending the time with us today and giving us your story about it, rehashing so much that you've talked about endlessly over and over again. I hope you continue to do so. I wonder if you'll let me know right now on air, how many times have they put you in the hooscow now for being chained to the gate or chained to the White House? How many times have you gotten put in jail?
So the first time was in front of BP offices in New Orleans. I was trying to return them some tar balls that they said weren't there, and they didn't appreciate it and let us in, so we kind of just sat down and waited. And then the second time was up in D.C. fighting the Keystone XL pipeline with over 1,000 other people in that week there that 350.org put together, which was awesome. The third time was fighting the president denied the northern leg of the Keystone XL, he also fast-tracked the southern leg of the Keystone XL to get that little guff out of Cushing, Oklahoma, to bring it down to help poison the people of Manchester and Port Arthur. And so that was the chaining myself to the fence. We were able to stop that pipeline for a couple hours thanks to that. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If they had pulled me up, which they did, and threw me in jail, and another person would have been there to take its place, after a certain point they would have stopped it forever. We've got to treat this like what it is, and this is a war for the protection of our Mother Earth and for the protection of our people and those communities that continue to be devastated by this just backwards, 20th century practice that we are above. We have other ways that we can put our money, other things we could put our money into that would be sustainable and help our children to have a future. The coil companies and other companies don't want that to happen because they're making quite a bit of money off our destruction.
That's
what it boils down to. So.
You got it in a nutshell. Sheree, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's very...
Always.
You're one of my favorite shows. I like coming on here because I can speak freely.
And we're so happy to have you. And you need to speak freely. We need to get the word out. As you say, the information going out there is one of the most important things. You know, you don't know what to think or what to listen to anymore. The mainstream media just is not really trustable. And going to that, there was an interesting quote from the web this weekend out of one of our chat rooms over there on Facebook. David Williams said that with every new bombing, every new incident or close call, every moment that feeds the beast, we become a greater siege nation. We now have a government that can suspend laws, ignore the Constitution, and lock down cities with thousands of troops. One word achieved this: terrorists. A blank check given for imagined safety. No doubt the Boston Marathon was a horrific tragedy, but I fear the consequences much, much more. When he wrote that, when I read that, I realized that, you know, as I was watching people post all week long and this weekend, people were either eating the news and just sucking and sopping up the fear or all of the sensationalism, or they were questioning the veracity of what was happening. There's stuff out there now that even make me wonder, you know, and due diligence is important. But where do we find it anymore? And when I can get on the air like this and get a guest like you to come on and talk the truth, talk it to power, then there's good things going on, right?
Yeah, I hope so. I do. I don't know much about Boston. I have friends up there, and I know that some people have said, you know, yeah, that was the right thing to do, and then others have said that it's not. I personally value the civil liberties and freedoms that I have for myself and for my children and my family more possibly than I value fear tactics. And I just... like I said, I don't want to talk about the things because I just really don't know much about it, but I do know that people have fought and died, many of them, for us to have freedom in our country and to be free of these assaults by our own government. And I feel like that they will have all died in vain if we continue to let this government go unchecked in the way that they are treating us. And I'm talking about the environment, and I'm also talking about these wars that we have on several things that are just not working. The war on terrorism, the war on drugs, the war on, it really, you know, it's just not working.
Agreed, Sheree. We agree on that. While all this was going on, nobody was looking, and CISPA was passed, and the International Monetary Fund met in D.C. to, you know, coalesce their austerity measures and policies with our government and bankers. It's very strange that things seem to happen with these curtains of sensationalism being drawn all the time. You have to question it and wonder.
Well, we also all sort of kind of have to take our own licks about that, don't we? I mean, it's not about if you're going to be so easily distracted and not really. It's up to you. My point is, it's up to you to stay informed. It's up to you to go deeper than the media can offer, and it's up to you to find that, to research and find answers and to put those answers out there. And mainly, it's up to you to give a darn enough about yourself, your country, your people, your family, your loved ones, to stand up and say what's right. I mean, it's your country. It's your representative government. It's your life and your livelihood. And when it really comes down to it, it falls on our shoulders to decide what the answers are and to decide who we're going to put in office that's really going to really going to represent us. It's all them. Sorry, suckers. But at the same time, when it comes down to it, we've got to engage. We have got to become active in our lives and our communities. That's the number one thing that has to happen.
Yeah, we do. I agree with you. And you make an excellent example. And I thank you for that. I thank you for giving us the time. Every time you come on and do, it's so appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Well, I guess that's it for this week. I appreciate all the moments. I do apologize for the technical blips. Apparently, Blog Talk Radio is having a few of those the last couple of weeks. but, you know, that's the nature of the beast right now. I do appreciate the fact that we have this to use to get the information out there. That I do appreciate. So, and we are simulcasting this one with, we're using the Google Hangouts to do a video of it and basically put all of the pictures and websites and stuff on while the show is commencing. So we're working it, you know? We're working the social network out.
Good.
So I guess that's it. I once again thank you so much, Cherie, for being with us, and I look forward to having you again.
Oh, absolutely, anytime. Just give me a call.
And I hope you have some really great time with your kids and being at home and some downtime now.
Yeah, it's got to happen. I'm excited about that. We're smack in the middle of baseball season.
I heard that. Okay, well, I'll let you go and stay safe and stay active.
Absolutely. Take care of yourself.
Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'd like to thank my producer for this show, Kim G., who is over there in Hangouts doing her best to make something happen for us. And we will figure this out and get it smoothly running without so many glitches and blips and just the communication stuff that's been going on. I would also like to thank our sponsors, Roundtree 7, that's number7.com, Knowledge to the Social Consciousness. Also, go and take a look at Toke Signals with Steve Elliott. That's tokesignals.com on the net. And we have AWOP Radio on Friday afternoons at 2 p.m., I'm sorry. That's AWOP, A-W-O-P, A World of Progressive Radio. .com with Kim G, who's doing the producing, as I said, of the video recording of Here Be Monsters Today. And so thank you, Kim, so much for everything you've done and all the shakes getting into it. And go on by and check out daughtersofisis.com. I'm not going to give you the important thing of all of this week, this day. Please remember this, the importance of kindness, because the kindness we show each other is really vital. I think we're losing sight of that sometimes. I know I certainly am. From time to time, I get so frustrated, and it's just not a good idea to give into the fear, folks. So the kindness that we show each other, it's very important. It's the cement of community, and it's the good health that we enjoy. So don't forget it. Keep it close, and please go on over and listen to Rick Spivak on PNN right now on BTR. That's the end of our show, and thanks to Jack Jodell for joining me as always. That's it, folks. Night-night.